the very first thing that I said to the doctor when I went in for my first ultrasound, like that was it. I said, I don't know where you need to put it on your little piece of paper, but I want you to write epidural with a red Sharpie because I do not want to feel any of this. Like, why would anyone want to experience that level of pain? And I ended up having an unplanned home birth where I delivered my daughter with my own two hands with nobody else in the room. So I went from having the most disempowering birth experience, followed by the most empowering, maybe not the safest, but I was okay. She was okay. But to be able to deliver your child with your own two hands, just the two of you in that room, was pretty insane.
And I was the first person in my family generationally to breastfeed. So I had no support. No one knew how to do it. And we were in the hospital and we both ended up with injuries during the birth. And I wasn't able to produce milk the way I wanted to. And there was no like overflowing with milk story, right? There was no like bags and bags of milk. I was like barely surviving and barely keeping him alive.
My oldest, like I said, I was 21. He was due March 23rd. My water broke 7 weeks early. I bent down to pick up a quarter. And I stood up and I was just like, that doesn't feel right. And it turns out I was having contractions a minute apart. I had no idea.
So I did end up having, within about 6 hours, I delivered a baby boy. He was breech. So again, way against my birth plan as well. I had to have an emergency C-section, which was really only because of the breechness, not necessarily his prematurity. However, I think that's a blessing, you know, after all is said and done. I don't know if he would have done well, you know, coming out vaginally. So C-section, I was completely knocked out for it. Woke up basically to a baby in a NICU incubator and had really no idea what just happened. Something that your mind really can't even wrap yourself around of being like, I just had my anatomy screening. So I was just like getting the excitement. I just found out the gender like 4 weeks ago. So like, I was just in this of like, let's, you know, I'm pregnant. This is so, my belly was just starting to show. And then it just got all taken away.
Hey, and welcome to the Parenting on Purpose podcast, your podcast to mirror your self-development journey with your parenting journey, because it is amazing what can be accomplished with a little bit of purpose. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Parenting on Purpose.
Back, everyone, to Parenting on Purpose, your podcast and page for parenting out of the box. So usually we're all about men and women, but today this one's for the ladies. Happy Women's History Month to our beautiful women out there. And I'm really excited for today's live. It's our first time doing this, so we're going to see how it works. I feel like Anne Hathaway in Devil Wears Prada when she's talking about Marissa Priestling, right? She's like, there's no plan B, there's only plan A. So as far as it's going so far, it seems to be working. So I've heard from a lot of you parents about, and people in our community, I actually have a few of my neighbors here as well, who are like, there's a lot of mental trepidation around pregnancy and going through birth, or maybe not having the perfect birth. And I was just so over that. I'm like, every birth story, and I'm also 8 months pregnant, so maybe I'm a little more passionate than normal, but every birth story should be unique and perfect and celebrated. So what we're doing here today, ladies, is like no gloves. We're going to talk about what goes down, what's real, answer some of your pre-submitted questions. So I am like super excited to have everybody on. So what I'll do is just go by panel member and just have you guys high level introduce yourselves and maybe one of your unique experiences or something that made your birth journey incredible. And we'll take a little time with it, maybe 4 or 5 minutes per person. And then we'll get into some of the pre-submitted questions. Does that sound good with you, ladies?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And thank you guys so much for being here. One last kind of preface is that, like, I know it's not always popular to talk about this kind of stuff, right? It's sharing how you feel and what's going on. And so from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate it because I think the more that we can speak our truth and be on the leading edge and just say how we're really feeling, you never know who that's going to touch and who that's going to empower and inspire. So thank you for being vulnerable today and just being who you guys are. And I'm so excited to learn from all of you. So with that being said, I'm just going to go off the cuff and I'm going to go with Tasha first. I don't know why. I'm just feeling it. It feels right. She didn't know, but it's here.
It's So my name is Tasha Richards Mobasher. I have three children and I am 41 years old. I'm 43. Oh my gosh. I'll be 44 this year. And that will tell you that I had my last child at age 41. So maybe that's why I'm stuck at that that time. But I've had three children. We've lived throughout the U.S. and traveled for work. So I have I feel like I gave birth to a child in every state. So California, Georgia, and now Florida. So we have three children. Our two oldest girls are ages 14 and 12. And then we have a 2.5-year-old boy. So I would say this is, you know, really exciting. I have three different children. I think three different journeys, three different outcomes, but they were all end up being positive. And I would say the takeaways for me have always been to just be your own health advocate. You know, know what you want. I would say that one of my goals getting older is when I retire, I want to become the breast whisperer. I give myself my own title because I want to, you know, teach women how to breast. Just challenges with all three of my children with breastfeeding. And I was the first person in my family generationally to breastfeed. So I had no support. No one knew how to do it. And so, yeah, I feel like, I don't know if you want to go into specifics, but with three children, just in the title of breastfeeding, you know, the first child, she was a super strong sucker. And I was just like emotionally overwhelmed by the process. And I was like, this doesn't seem natural, but it is natural. And I was in pain and I was just like crying. And then the second child, she was not natural at it. She ended up 10 days in, we couldn't get her to feed. I couldn't get her to latch. And so she was the complete opposite of my first one. She just wasn't latching. And come to find out, she had what's called a tongue tie, which her tongue is connected to the bottom and she had to get it clipped. But I found out by being around women like you guys. And I went to a women's group called the La Leche League. And they were like, let me see that baby's, you know, mouth. And that's how I learned about it. And then my third child, we were in the hospital and we both ended up with injuries during the birth. And because of that, he had really severe jaundice. And I also had severe pains and I was in and out of consciousness. So I wasn't able to produce milk the way I wanted to. And there was no like overflowing with milk story, right? There was no like bags and bags of milk. I was like barely surviving and barely keeping him alive with the milk that I had. So I just think that there's three stories with all of them. And it's just a constant reminder of how just marvelous and absolutely miraculous we are. There would be no mankind without women. There would be no future without women. And I learned that, you know, with every three examples. So that's just a little bit about me.
That's a great intro. So I'm already so motivated, like, to go through that and to not be like beaten down and say, look, we're going to figure this out, and to give each child their own space and place for what feels right for them. Like, this is so mental on women. It's such a beautiful, not something we are not prepared for. It's the same as you said, Tasha, no one teaches you this stuff. So thank you. Wow. I cannot wait to learn more. That's amazing. So amazing. So Danny, I'll go to you next. Quick intro. And then, you know, what made your journey so unique?
Yeah, I'm so thrilled to be here because this is one of my favorite things to talk about. I'm also a mom of three, and I don't get to talk about this as much as I'd like to. So in terms of what I do, I'm a certified life and business coach. I've been in the coaching and empowerment space for a decade, and a lot of the work that I do is with other business owners. And there is this through line that I'm noticing as I was preparing for today. A really big part of the work that I do with my clients as a life coach and business coach is we focus on the inner work. We focus on what I call mindset and energy mastery. And so really understanding and remembering how powerful you are. And that's so important in every area of life. But I can see how that has unfolded in my journey as a mother. And so I have a 10-year-old, an eight-year-old, and my son will be 2 in just a few days. And I can see this beautiful journey where when I first found out I was pregnant, with my daughter who is now 10. I remember the very first thing that I said to the doctor when I went in for my first ultrasound. Like, that was it. I said, I don't know where you need to put it on your little piece of paper, but I want you to write epidural with a red Sharpie because I do not want to feel any of this. Like, why would anyone want to experience that level of pain? So I went from that to just less than 2 years ago, having an at-home birth. We did not go to the hospital. I had a midwife. My son was born in the water. There was no medication. And so literally we did the full pendulum swing. But to get to that full pendulum swing, there was, and I'll tell you as much as you want to know either now or later, but after that first birth, and I got the epidural I wanted, but I couldn't feel anything. And that's a problem when your husband and the doctors and nurses are telling you to do this and to do that, and you can't feel anything. And I remember feeling really disempowered. I remember hating feeling that disconnected from my body and from this sacred experience. So when I found out that I was pregnant with my second daughter, I was so scared to have a unmedicated birth. I try not to use the words natural birth because every birth is natural. It's unmedicated. But so what I ended up manifesting through the power of my mindset and my energy, I had like a birth vision board. I was very scared that I would get to the hospital with that second birth and that I would chicken out. But what I call God didn't even let me get to the hospital. And I ended up having an unplanned home birth where I delivered my daughter with my own two hands with nobody else in the room. So I went from having the most disempowering birth experience followed by the most empowering, maybe not the safest, but I was okay. She was okay. But to be able to deliver your child with your own two hands, just the two of you in that room, was pretty insane. And there was like a bunch of other pieces, but that is why I was so excited when you reached out and you said, who has a birth story to share? I'm like, I've got a few, but there's one that takes the cake in my own experience from my three individual experiences.
Wow. This is amazing. It's just like amazing what the gamut of experiences can be and how I just keep after hearing each of you, I'm like, wow, women are amazing. Like we are so badass. Like this is so incredible. And I guess the lesson here is like, be careful what you ask for, right?
Because be careful what you ask for. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so, so beautiful. I love this. I'm so excited to delve in more. And what came to mind as I listened to you is just the growth, the personal growth. On our podcast, we talk about this a lot, but we're parents, but like, we're not done, y'all. Like we are in the process of becoming who we are. And every experience, good or bad, is us doing life and getting better. And you just taking that experience all the way from your first now to River and how that's kind of made you into the empowering human you are today who coaches others. Like two snaps, man. I feel like I'm at a poetry reading. Like that is so good. Oh my gosh. I love it. Wow. So good. And I love what you said about not medicated and that every birth is natural. I was like, that is beautiful, beautiful sentiment. And that's what I want to get to with this. I have friends. I have a lot of people on socials that have reached out. They had disempowering situations like what happened with you, Tasha, where like they went in, something they weren't planned happening. They had the cascade of intervention and they had no choice and they felt disempowered. But as you were highlighting, Dani, it's a mindset. And if we can master that mindset, that's why I titled this like birth happens between your ears, right? We are the power creator of this whole force of life. And we should feel nothing but beautiful about that. So thanks for that intro. It was amazing. Miss Kimberly, I'm coming to you next, girl. Quick intro. What made your birth story so unique?
Okay. So I can definitely see similarities and obviously differences between both Dani and Tasha already with mine. And so my name is Kimberly. I have three boys of my own and then I have one stepson. All of my births took place in my 20s. My oldest I had 4 days before my 22nd birthday. So I was really young. And my youngest I had like a month before I turned 40. So, or not 40, 30. I can't even count today. So all three of mine were so different. I think the craziest ones were my first and my last. My middle one, to me, felt what I guess in my head was the most normal, or the smoothest. Not really sure how you want to put it, because nothing is ever really truly smooth or normal. But out of the other two, that's kind of where I put him. And it kind of fits for him too, his personality wise and everything. My oldest, like I said, I was 21. He was due March 23rd. My water broke 7 weeks early. I bent down to pick up a quarter and I stood up and I was just like, that doesn't feel right. That, I don't think I peed my pants. I don't think that's what that was. You know, I get to the hospital. I check in. I'm talking to triage nurse. I'm like, yeah, my doctor told me to come here. I think my water broke. And she's looking at me like I'm crazy. She's like, what are you talking about? There's nothing. There's your pants aren't wet. Nothing's going on. I go do check in, go through the whole process and everything else. I come back in and to get like the whole, you know, all the bands and everything she put on me. And she just kind of looks at me, looks at the ground, looks back up at me. And she's like, well, you just got yourself a room. And I look down and it's just like everywhere. And it turns out I was having contractions a minute apart. I had no idea. I didn't feel them at all. Nothing. Had no idea. With him, I was in the hospital for, I believe, 4 days on strict bed rest, only allowed to get up to go to the bathroom, and that's it. And then he was a NICU baby for 10 because he was so preemie.
You're saying 10 weeks or 10 days?
10 days.
10 days. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He was a NICU baby for 10 days, and being in there is just a whole story in itself anyway. So he was in there for 10 days. Go on to my middle one. For the most part, it was considered a high risk pregnancy because of how early my water broke, and they had no reason before it. I didn't have like hypertension or anything like that. So he was considered high risk, but like I said, for the most part, it was smoother than the first. My third one, again, he was still considered a slight high risk pregnancy because of how early my first one was. But the craziness of his birth story was more like that day, that morning, the night before. I had a headache for 3 days straight. I could not get rid of it. And I was out to dinner with my mom for her birthday. And I was on my way home. I was like, you know what? Let's just stop and check my blood pressure. And it was like 178 over something. I'm like, oh, that's really high. And I called the doctor. They're like, okay, go ahead and just go in and get checked. And some of my levels were off. And they're like, okay, we're going to go ahead and get you ready for birth. They had to give me medication to get my cervix ready. Because it was nowhere near ready. And she's like, look, you know, some people go into labor right away. Some people go into labor right away when we take it out. So just try and get rest. The next morning, they are taking it out. They're doing shift change at the same time. And I'm basically like, get the nurse in here. And finally, she comes walking in. And she's like, I just checked her. Oh, my God, get me a glove. She had time to get one glove on, and that one, like Danny has mentioned, my first one, epidural, last one, they even have time. So it was it was all non-medicated, natural birth on that one. So that's kind of the gist as far as all three of mine, and it's just chaos and fun, but in the end, it's three healthy boys. So.
Amazing. Oh, that's so beautiful. These boys are giving us a hard time over here. Oh my God. That's awesome. Well, they say they're easier later in life, and I have a 16-year-old. So we'll see how the 4-year-old is when he's that age. Wow, that's beautiful. And you like, gosh, you're so brave, Kimberly. Like all three, like I remember you saying, sharing like NICU early deliveries, just something different with each. And I just commend your bravery and just being open to like allowing that to be what it is. I definitely have, we have some cool pre-submitted questions. And one of them has to do with like mentally, how did you like, cause there's a lot of guilt as I've heard the three of you so far. It's like, you can be so hard on yourself for this. Like, this isn't something that's happening to us together with this beautiful life we're co-creating. Yet society has taught us to be so heady that we're like placing all this guilt on ourselves. And I think about that specifically with your situation and how you must have felt like, I don't know, like how did you keep empowered? So that was one of our pre-submitted questions. We'll get to it, but oh my gosh, that's amazing. And then certainly not least, Christy, I'm so excited to hear from you as well. Thank you again for joining. Give us a quick intro and what made your birth story so unique.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm Christy. I'm a mother of three as well, three boys. It seems like that's the trend amongst the panel. I think it's really interesting, like listening to everybody talk to, like we've all had different birth experiences, but at least I can see myself in every one of your experiences as well. So like Danny, your home birth was my dream. Still would be if I was still going to have any more kids, but we're probably done with that. But like, that was my dream. Like I had this birth plan written out for my first baby. I was going to do like no epidural. I wanted to be all natural. I can do this. My sister-in-law gave birth in a, like a birthing center. So like, she was like in the bathtub, like no real doctors. I think it was more of like a midwife, and went home like 12 hours later or whatever they do in those centers, you know, which is like my dream. But then I too, like Kimberly, I had a NICU baby. I went into spontaneous labor at 24 weeks. So my baby was born at 1 pound, 10 ounces, out of nowhere. It was a 4th of July barbecue at our friend's house. I ate their food, had some stomach cramping, thought it was like bad food, just wanted to go home. I probably was in labor for about 2.5 days before I like took it really seriously, I guess, first time mom. I was crampy and things like that. And I called my doctors and told them, and they said, you know, it was the 4th of July, maybe you're dehydrated, just take a break, rest, and trusted that because like I was 24 weeks, like never in my right mind would I be in labor. So then like come like the third morning, I was still cramping and my husband was like, I'm going to go to the gym. Do you mind? I was like, no, I'm just going to sit here and chill. But then it kind of got to like where I was like vocalizing my pain. And I was like, this is, something's wrong. So I called, and they said, just come to L&D, you know, we'll check you out for sure. By the time I got there, my cervix was gone. And they were like, you should probably call your husband. And I was like, okay, yeah. Like he's right down the street. And they're like, no, you're not leaving. Like he needs to get here right now. Like something's going on. So I did end up having, within about 6 hours, I delivered a baby boy. He was breech. So again, way against my birth plan as well. I had to have an emergency C-section, which was really only because of the breechness, not necessarily his prematurity. However, I think that's a blessing, you know, after all is said and done. I don't know if he would have done well, you know, coming out vaginally. So C-section, I was completely knocked out for it, woke up basically to a baby in a NICU incubator and had really no idea what just happened. Something that your mind really can't even wrap yourself around of being like, I just had my anatomy screening. So I was just like getting the excitement. I just found out the gender like 4 weeks ago. So like, I was just in this of like, let's, you know, I'm pregnant. This is so, my belly was just starting to show. And then it just got all taken away just like that. So, you know, I think that it's a sad story in a way, but such a success story. My son will be 5 in July. He is totally great. He spent 108 days in the NICU. He had to get a surgery right when he was out of the NICU for his eye development. But otherwise, like he's thriving and he's super tall. He's in all of the highest percentiles. So I think, you know, something that I want to share with moms is that, you know, you can overcome a lot. Don't get too wrapped up in if your birth plan goes wrong or of course, something like that, where his likeliness of survival was so low in the beginning, you know, stay focused because it doesn't have to be that way. And I think mindset, you know, I'm a breastfeeder as well, Tasha. I love breastfeeding. I have my baby. My baby's 6 months right now, and I'm just like loving every second of it. But I was able to exclusively pump during his NICU stay. And I think that that could have been such a part of his success is getting those nutrients from me, you know, as early on as he could have, not to say he wouldn't have been successful otherwise, but I just think that there's such an importance of that. And then also the inspiring part is that I had two full-term pregnancies after that. So also that if everything goes wrong in a pregnancy or changes from your vision, even if it's just a C-section, take the NICU out of it, of course, I had two VBACs, you know, I should say two full-term, two VBACs. So yeah, they weren't easy, but they happened. And, you know, that it doesn't have to change your whole course of any future pregnancies that you might, because it can be really discouraging. I was very scared to get pregnant again. They didn't really give me a reason why I went into spontaneous labor. Still kind of to this day, we really don't know. So was it my body, you know, was it my cervix, you know, and all of that. And I will say my second pregnancy, I was a little bit more, I went to a, you know, maternal fetal specialist. They monitored my cervix. I didn't get a cerclage. I took progesterone. So I did a lot of things just to maybe, you know, keep myself pregnant. And then my third pregnancy, I decided to do nothing and just trust my body. And I still carried full term. So I think also your evolution too, Danny, you know, that you kind of mentioned too, you learn so much as mothers and, you know, it's, you know, great. So it's not to say that, you know, things could go wrong. Things could hopefully go great, but it doesn't craft your future of, you know, pregnancies and deliveries.
Can we just say, wow, like I'm already feeling so motivated. Like I know there's most of our, like most of our audience is parents, but I feel like non-parents should listen to what you ladies just said. And as they prepare themselves just mentally for all the beautiful, messy, just not, you don't know, but wow, Chrissy, that is one of the most empowering stories I've heard in a long time. And I can empathize and understand like having a plan and wanting it to come to fruition. My birth plan with this one has changed. And it's like, you have to almost die to the idea of what you thought was perfect or the plan and adapt to what's going to be the most successful for your kid. And in a way that can be so hard, but in a way that's also beautiful because it shows us how unbound we really are as women and what we are capable of. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing that. Oh my goodness. That was incredible. Yeah, that's amazing. And I love that he's like the tallest kid too. Like that's so good.
He's like so gigantic. Awesome. So I'm like, you would never know when people hear about him. They're like, he was what? Like my husband's wedding ring picked up to his elbow, you know? So it's just like,
wow.
You don't really understand it until you see it, you know? And so, yeah, so it's amazing.
It also motivates me to hear this because it's like, you never, I've never heard of someone that preemie being, doing so well and thriving. And it's like, we are this is such an incredible like magic birthing and building life. And we're resilient and we're capable of so much more than we think, right? In our limited sets. That was incredible. Wow. So good. So we have some really good pre-submitted questions from our audience. And so what I'm going to do for the sake of time, because I know we have about 20, 25 minutes left. And if you guys need to jump, ladies, and we're all moms, feel free to jump whenever you need to. I'm going to ask one per person. But if you have just an answer that's just on your heart, like throw your hand up or throw your proverbial virtual hand up, whatever. And we'll make sure you get a chance to talk about that because I have already learned so much just listening to you all. So I can imagine that would come from this. So Tasha, I'm going to go to you first. And one of the questions that was submitted made me think of what you said with just how different each of your births were. So what kept you motivated and positive mindset during your labor and delivery process? And then once you knew what you were facing, how did you stay focused on, you know, accomplishing the task and keeping a positive frame of reference and mindset?
Well, I love that you say mindset. I think we're going to, that's going to be like the takeaway word, right? When I was pregnant with my first child, I started taking classes in person and also like audio, and it was called Hypno Babies. And it's a series of classes that really just helps you reframe your mindset and allow you to look at birthing as an experience, as a journey. And so you're not so afraid, right? Because fear is like false evidence appearing real, right? Things that haven't happened yet that we are fearful of because we haven't experienced it. And so the classes really taught me to, you know, change my mindset and look at it like everything was for a purpose, right? Everything is like, this is the journey. This is the process. This is the way, right? Like, this is the way it has to be. So as I was, you know, I too wanted all natural childbirth, non-medicated childbirths. Okay. Let's put it that way. I love that. I love that. Non-medicated. And that was just my preference, right? Because I wanted to be present with my children. But, you know, those pains, those birthing pains ain't no joke, right? And, but when you're like, okay, there's a reason why it's so strong. And the stronger it gets, the closer I am to seeing my baby, that allowed me to really just like embrace it, I guess, embrace the processes each time. I just took deep breaths and embraced it. And I was successful with that journey. The first baby, the second baby, even by the third baby, I broke a little bit, because when you know what you want to do, but sometimes the medical centers don't either agree with it, or they don't know how to deal with that. You know, oh, non-medicated, what do you mean? Like, we got a system. And so, you know, I was caught in a position where I ended up attempting to get an epidural. It didn't work, it was unsuccessful. But in any case, I think the biggest part was just mindset. Because even through that, it was like, oh, take a deep breath. You know, everything's going to be okay. This is part of the process. And we just have to be kind to ourselves. But that's the biggest thing for me, which is the mindset of getting through all of that and being positive, really.
That's beautiful. I love that. I want to talk to you in a second about the cascade of intervention, but we can't not notice the gorgeous little baby who's made his way to the frame. Hi.
There's my baby. Oh my,
what a
cutie. She would just stay baby forever.
I know. We read this book. I have a 16-year-old who's, I did not birth. We adopted her. And I used to read her a book when she was four. God, getting old. And the book was called If I Could Keep You Little. And it was like, if I could keep you little, I could keep you next to me, but then I'd keep you from becoming the amazing person you're meant to be. And every time I just see the cute little thighs like that, it just, oh my God, it's the sweetest. I'm so happy for you, Chrissy. Congratulations. Enjoy every second of just snuggling into that baby.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so good. I love it. So Tasha, I'm going to piggyback another question, and then we can give it, open it up and move on to the next. So a lot of women are really nervous about the cascade of intervention. And by that, I mean having a plan and then getting to the hospital and having that plan taken away. I have a really good friend, one of my best friends. And like, for her, it's a really jarring story, right? And it's not mine to share, but I was so pissed off when I heard of it. It has to do with like racial differentiation and a whole bunch of stuff. But she went into the hospital with a plan, and that plan got changed. And she felt a lot because of who she was as a person, what she looked like. And it's unfathomable. But the whole, I guess, point here, she had to undergo a cascade of intervention where her birth plan was taken away from her and changed by hospital staff. Now, I have so many cousins, nurses, friends who are in medical. I'm in med sales, right? So I love a lot of people in this profession. So this is not a knock at all about medical professionals, because I think everyone is doing their best. But specifically when you have something in mind and then it gets taken or changed, or even in your case, if it was the right thing to do for your kid, like, there is something mentally there that makes a lot of women afraid. So do you have any advice for women or parents who are nervous about that stuff? And, you know, like, even though your plan was different, it was still beautiful. You know, I wonder if you have anything you want to say to that, or any of the other ladies as well.
Wow. I'll get emotional, because I think we go through a process of like anger, kind of like something was taken from me. I wanted it a certain way. And then I felt like I went from anger to, feeling bad for myself because I couldn't perform the way that I wanted to perform. I wanted to. So I felt shameful. I felt hurtful. And those just aren't the things that you want to feel when you just had a baby, you know? And that affects, you know, your depression or lack there, you know, or your anxiety. It affects your milk production. And so you know, luckily, you know, my husband, I will say the advice is always to have, you know, people around you, whether it be your husband, your best friend, your mother, that are advocates of your birth plan, but more importantly, they're an advocate of you and making you feel good and supporting you and making you feel confident. That's the best thing. And so the way to do that is to, you know, communicate your birth plan with others and make sure you have those advocates around you and ask them, say, hey, I might just need you to give me a hug or comfort me. And this is how I love. This is my love language. This is what I'll need from you. And just ask, lean on people, because we try to do so much ourselves and we take it all in. And I think that will help us adapt better when there's changes.
That's Gosh, you have so much wisdom in that. Like, seriously, so much wisdom in what you just said. I love that you went through the grieving process and you recognized that you needed to go through it. But then, and I struggle with this, like mentally, you put a kind of a line in the sand. This is not going to help me. I need to choose better thoughts. I now have, you know, I'm creating milk. I'm creating this life. I get to decide where my mind goes. And you took that control. Like, that is incredible. So thank you.
Well, I didn't do it immediately. I'll just tell you guys that. Okay. Lesson learned. I fought it for so long and didn't give in after the birth of my son. And my pain, I wasn't able to heal as fast and I was depressed. And I 100% had postpartum depression, 100% had insomnia, 100% had anxiety, 100%, 100%, 100%. And then it was just like, boom, girl. Get it together. And you've got to change your mindset and give yourself grace. Like, you're good. You every little ounce of milk you squeeze out, be good, be thankful for it. And give him formula, girl. You're not perfect. Give him formula. He'll survive. It'll be all right. You know? So just give ourselves grace. It's so important. Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting that from listening to you, ladies. None of these journeys are going to be exactly identical. So don't put yourself in the pressure of, you know, feeling like you have to have it perfect. Amazing. That was so good. Chrissy, my next question is for you. So you get to let me know, do you want to take it now? Do you want to take it later? I figured I'd ask you that way.
Yeah, I can take it now. He'll hopefully
cool.
Get it together. Oh, keep it together.
And that's all good. No, good with us either way. Just want to be respectful. I know he needs you. So
no, for sure.
And yeah, keep him in the frame because it's way cuter.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
So
especially these little things. Yes.
I know. My gosh. When we brace them, then we become adult women and we hate our legs for it. Like, I don't understand.
Right. Right. All the cellulite and all that the baby families love it.
Exactly. Eat it. They just love it. It's just amazing. So one of the pre-submitted questions that made me really think of your story was like, what was the most difficult aspect of the birthing experience for you? Now that can be physically or mentally. And then how did you cope with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of it was difficult, right? Obviously, but like, of course, you know, changing from what I wanted, a C-section to me, and then having my sister-in-law be like the only example, like she had this perfect water burst. I'm like, that's what I can do. So like having that in the back of your mind, like, why can't I do this? And then having it just completely taken from you, right? And like, I'm so blessed that my son is successful and he's a success story, because I know that it's not always that way. And sometimes even worse, right? Not to go down some terrible side of things, but that's all real, right? So like having, you know, this uncertainty of everything. And so not only was my delivery different, but my coming to life with my firstborn child was different. And that looked different. I didn't go home with him. I, you know, had to go and visit him at visitation times. And I couldn't even touch him for 25 days of his life at all. When I was rubbing his foot and I was told that I was hurting him opposed to comforting him. So it was very much that. So I think, you know, what I learned a lot from straying from the question, I apologize, is my coping mechanism was really to educate myself on everything going on with him, especially how long am I going to be here? You know, what medicines are you giving him? What's his next step? What's tomorrow look like? And a lot of that was answered by the doctors and the nurses and stuff, but a lot of it wasn't. And you, as a mother, what you've learned is that it's so much bigger than you. that you want to advocate for your son or your child as well, right? So I went home and I read so much. I will say I was a reader before. I read a lot of birth books and I skipped over C-sections because that was never going to happen to me. And I certainly didn't read anything about the NICU because that certainly was never going to happen to me. So educating yourself in every aspect of what could happen, just knowing and being accepting that it could all happen anyway and being okay with that. And then should you ever have to face any uncertainty of your baby in a hospital stay or anything like that, you know, educating yourself on what is going on, because I think the doctors really respected that of me. I would go to them and they'd say, we're going to start him on, you know, a steroid of sorts. And I would say, have you read about, what about, not have you read, obviously they have, but like, have you thought about this steroid? Instead, I've been doing some reading myself. And they didn't take it as I was challenging them. They took it as a partnership. And I think a lot of parents, of course, might just be yes men and, you know, yes ladies and just say, whatever you say, go, that's fine. But they actually kind of turn their course of plan sometimes to meet what I was saying and to come to terms. So that was really nice. So I think, you know, being an advocate, don't be afraid to speak up. You are the mother at the end of the day. They're professionals, but you have a say in your child's story as well. And read as much as you can about every aspect of labor and delivery during and after, just so that should anything change, you're comfortable in that moment as well. When they were giving me, you know, medicine to try and stop my contractions, I had no idea what that medicine was. Could I have asked for something else maybe, or, you know, been more confident in what was going on if I had known more? Absolutely. So I think it's that, just to build your own confidence, to know what questions might be coming, what decisions might be asked of you next, and, you know, doing the best that you can to prepare yourself for all of that. So reading, and then, you know, from here on, from VBACs and all of that, I just read. I read so much. I'm not a reader. I'm not a big fictional reader, but I do love to educate myself. And any other hurdle that I've had, the surgery my son had, my VBAC, you know, all of that, I've read so much on. So educate yourself, I think, because you're going to be more confident in yourself and you're going to create a good partnership amongst you and whoever else you're going to interact with during your birthing experience.
That's a great answer, Chris, like your birthing team. And what I love about that is you separate yourself from the victim. You're not, it's something, you know, you understand they're in there trying to perform a job and help this beautiful child come out alive. And that you have the same end goal. And by educating yourself, you at least can ask more intelligent questions to understand what options are there, which I just think is so awesome. So thank you. That was a great answer. I think Tasha, when she was talking earlier about hypnobirthing and stuff, I watched this lady when I was preparing for my second child, first birth, which was a lot. I didn't do it in water, Danny, because my mom like forbid me. But the whole premise was like, you know, ask about what happens if you don't do this now, or ask what the alternatives are, like ask certain questions. And the acronym is BRAIN, and I'll figure out what that means and I'll put it in the chat or the description. But you can go through these questions to give yourself a moment to pause before you have to be forced into a solution. In most cases, if it's an emergency C-section, you got to get that baby out, do what you need to do. And Chrissy's just a testament of you can have the most opposite ends of the spectrum and still have a beautiful result from it. So thank you for being here and sharing that with your beautiful kid. That's incredible.
Okay, so with my first one, I was young. Like I said, I was 21. So I did read. I got, you know, the book, like what's it called? Like What to Expect When You're Expecting, something like that. And so, you know, I was always reading and looking through it and stuff. So that did help, like, give me ideas of what I, one, needed to even bring with me. Because I was the first one. So, you know, first grandchild, first of my friends. So I had, like, no one that I could really go to. I mean, granted, my mom, but, I mean, at that point, it's been 21 years. Or 20 years, whatever, since she had any. So I didn't really have anyone that I could really go to be like, well, what did you do? Or what are your thoughts on this? So I did read that book a lot. I read some other things and then kind of gave me ideas, one, what I need to bring, what are good things to have, what are an idea of what to have with me. As far as building a birth plan, like the doctor mentioned, like creating a birth plan, and I think they actually had like a questionnaire for me to kind of fill out, like, what would you want to do that? And so I was doing like research and stuff, trying to figure out like, okay, well, I definitely want an epidural because it's supposed to hurt. Everyone tells me, I mean, that's what I've heard. I don't know for sure, but it does. And so I definitely did like a lot of research. The book and stuff helped. We took at the hospital took a parenting class, which for me, it helped. But at the same time, it was, for me, it was awkward because I'm in there with my mom or my best friend as my partner, and everyone else is in there with like their husband or their boyfriend. And I'm like, okay, I feel really weird. But I kind of got past, I had to kind of get past that to because like, I'm like, okay, well, obviously I don't want to go into the labor and delivery room, like completely, like not knowing what's going to happen. And in that class, they talked about like, okay, we have a ball that you can sit on. Sometimes they like, it's great if you can sit on the ball when you're going through active labor, and it can help to, just get in that different positions. And they talked about all of that stuff. So, reading the books and taking the classes definitely helped as far as like preparing for me, especially with my first one. After my first one, I think I had a little bit better idea because it was based off experience. Like, I know with my first one, I was like, okay, I want to listen to some music and da da da. And then all I remember is like, I didn't hear the music at all. Like, it was like, there was just so much. And maybe it's because he was preemie, but like, there was just so much going on. I was like, I don't even remember, like, whatever, if we can play music, but I mean, it wasn't a big deal to me anymore for the other two. For my first one, I definitely was like reading. I was going to the classes and stuff. I mean, for some of you going and watching this podcast and maybe even doing other researches, it's good. And then from there, it's just like experience, like what worked for you, what didn't work for you, what were like just you thought was going to be what you needed, and then it was just like not even anywhere in your scope of needs and whatnot during the labor and delivery.
Have a basis and then be flexible, based on what works for you and what didn't.
I mean, it definitely helps to have that base idea, especially like with the first one, the base idea of what works, what doesn't work, or what you, an idea of what you want. And then, like I said, experience one or more after that, it's just, okay, what worked, what didn't work, what do I want to try differently? So
I kind of compare my two experiences so far, right? I'm not through it yet by any stretch, knock on wood, but like, I felt like the first one was like a test of my body. Like, I did want to, it was in my birth plan. My water broke at the Arden Gym, Kimberly, the Stairmaster. And I got in 8 centimeters. That's why it's broken. It hasn't been broken for 4 years. My mom's name is Rhonda, a side note, and my aunt's name is Marianne. And I got in, and there were two charge nurses fighting over how dilated I was, and their names were Rhonda and Marianne, like the most random thing ever. So I'm like, oh, this baby's happening right now. Like, this is coming. That was my sign from the universe. But I felt like that was my test of body. Like, can my body do this? And once we go through that as a mom the first time, no matter if it's a water birth or if it's you're totally knocked out and you have an epidural, you just have, like, we have to remember it was not that long ago, ladies, where they would knock women out like over the head with something heavy and make them unconscious without medicine, like more of a gruff way to do it. And I've talked to my grandma and she birthed my mom that way, right? Like, it's amazing. That wasn't that long ago. But once you go through it once and you feel what you're capable of, I think then it becomes more of a test of your mind. Now you are much more heady because you're thinking about all the things that could be different or wrong, or you're comparing, or you're doing the things that we do as moms because now you have more of a reference point. So it's beautiful because it challenges you to grow each time, and every experience is unique, whether they're all storybook or they're all you know, really crazy unique. But it's just a, it's part of life. It's a learning experience. So thank you for that. So I glean from what you say, be flexible and see what works for you, and then give yourself a little bit of extra space to make those changes so you can make the experience feel as empowering as possible.
Yeah.
So good. Sandy, I'm going to have you wrap us up, and I'll ask a two-part question because I know you and you can handle it. So part one was, how did your birthing experience change your perspective on motherhood and your own strength? And then just kind of wrap into that, any last thoughts or tidbits that you have as advice for people, parents watching this who maybe want to have another kid, but maybe are a little nervous.
Yeah, for sure. So how did it change my perspective on motherhood and my own strength? I get teary-eyed thinking about that, because the work that I do in my business day in and day out, like the thing I'm committed to more than anything, is helping women remember their power. And what I didn't know at the start of this journey was that the most powerful experience I was ever going to have was, I mean, for so many women, if you're a mother and I ask you, you know, when you think about the moment when you felt like you could literally do anything, 90% of the time it is some sort of a birth story. And there is something that I don't know that there's anything more powerful than like literally reaching down like between your own legs with your own two hands and like pulling your baby up there. Nothing. Not like I've jumped out of planes, I've gone bungee jumping, like I've traveled a lot, I've seen some of the like world wonders. Nothing even comes close to that. And so I think that there was, you know, if you go back to remembering the story I shared at the beginning, I went from a really disempowering experience that I didn't know at the moment, but I now know was rooted in not being able to trust myself. Not trusting myself, not trusting my body, to thinking maybe I actually can do this. And then in that moment, literally no one else was in the room. There was no one else there, like being forced to muster up enough trust and confidence to do what needed to happen. And so,
which is birthing your own child in a room alone by yourself, for those of you just tuning in. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there was like, that was for me, and I'm so grateful for that experience, especially the fact that like I was okay and she was okay. Like I never thought about it, but the EMTs who came to the rescue very quickly and like getting the hospital, they were like, do you have any idea how many things could have gone wrong? And I'm like, well, didn't think about that. And they didn't happen. So let's not talk about that. Yeah. Wow. But, there was this moment of like, I can literally do anything. And I feel like that applies to motherhood and it applies to my own strength. That's a moment that I actually recall quite often in other areas of life when I'm feeling, you know, tired or weak or scared or whatever it might be. One of the things I'm trained in is a technique known as NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and understanding the language of the mind and being able to recall certain states. And so that birth experience is, it changed me in the most incredible ways forever.
That's, and that was a beautiful experience, right? That's like a textbook, you know, you have so many, like, I don't know, like you feel like a superhero on earth, right?
You do. Yeah.
For sure. But let's go to the first one, which is the antithesis of that story. It's like the exact opposite. And, from a societal perspective, much less empowering, but again, mindset, perspective, what we're able to accomplish, the fact that this thriving baby was still able to be a part of this world, right? What about that experience? And it could be retroactively for sure, made you feel empowered, because it was so different than what you, you know, expected.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something, it doesn't matter what it takes to get to that moment when you're holding your baby in your arms, whether it's medicated or not, or in a bathtub or in a hospital or a birthing center or a C-section. Like there is that moment of your body spent nearly a year building this miraculous thing and now it is in your hands. And I don't think anything, any experience, you know, the labor experience can take away that moment, that feeling.
I agree with you. I think that's exactly. And that's a perfect place to wrap this up, because at the end of the day, we all come into everything in life, not just labor, not just parenthood, but marriage, work, and, you know, name it, with preconceived notions of what it's going to be like. And this is our story to design, right? That's why for the story on this, I put unwritten. This is your story to craft. So, you know, have fun with it. Make a plan. Be flexible to the plan. Be flexible to opening it and understand, like, you have power, right? And that could be, you could choose, you know, for that to look any way you want, to be as engaged or disengaged as you'd like. But, you know, just understand that you deciding to go through this and to bring a life into this world makes you, you know, one of the most powerful people on the planet. And I just get so motivated and happy when I hear, I mean, just see the stories we had today, just as women just happenstance with these incredible experiences. Like, this is the stuff you'd read about in the news. And you know, I know beautiful women who'd be amazing moms, and they're just scared to try because of not living up to what society deems as like the right birth. I'm like, come on, you guys. Like, social media can be incredible. When Kiki was talking about, like, you know, like, what to expect when you're expecting, like, oh yeah, that was an app. You know, like, you can, there's so many great resources. But at the same time, we have to manage our own minds and what can come into our mental space, not just when we're pregnant, but always, but especially when you're pregnant. So Dani, thank you for being here. Everybody, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I will get this over onto YouTube. All right, guys, until the next perfect time, everyone, stay beautiful and stay inspired. See everybody.